as you guessed, pastor's away, and he called me on the one. He asked me for it to do this a while ago, a long while ago, but I never thought he'd actually come and call in a favor, but he did. But tonight we're going to go through, it's called Return to the Lord. It's call on prophecy. We were just talking about it. The minor prophets, a lot of people understand and know the stories of David, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Joseph. They're not too familiar with the minor prophets, Jeremiah, Zechariah. We're going to start off with Jeremiah 12, chapter 12, verses 1 through 7 to begin with, and then we'll go to move on to Zechariah chapter 1, 4 through 6, and then we'll wind up, finish out with ending remark from 2 Chronicles 7:14, where the Lord appeared to Solomon right after he had finished just building the temple. And there's the parallel, the call to return to the Lord. We're looking for a parallel between the three, maybe between the Israelites and our nation today. The Israelites, they strayed from God many, many times. They were stubborn. One day they invited false gods. They took on the gods of gods of the people that came through their territory at the time. But they walked away from God many, many times. But we're going to do a little introduction here to Jeremiah. I'm going to introduce you to Jeremiah, a brief introduction, and Zechariah first, and explain who they were, maybe what the time, what they were dealing with. It says, Jeremiah was born toward the end of the reign of King Josiah, the last good king of Judah, prophet's leadership. Came at a time of moral, political, and religious decline, ending in the Babylonian exile. God called Jeremiah as a youth and immediately began to prepare him to serve as a prophet to the nations. He was a priest called to prophetic service at a most unhappy time. God directed Jeremiah to deliver a hard message, a message of critical evaluation rather than of salvation. He was to call the people to change and repentance, to raise the standard they had dropped, and to call them to recapture their values and heritage. Without question, the prophet Jeremiah received one of the toughest assignments any leader in the Old Testament. God called him to lead a stubborn people, then informed him that the people would not follow his lead. It's kind of, like I said, I wanted to show the parallel between the Israelites as a stubborn people and maybe the possible parallel of America as a stubborn people. But Zechariah, he's another minor prophet. He deals with, says, like Haggai, his older contemporary, Zechariah calls the people to finish the work of rebuilding the temple. He saw their lethargy as Haggai did, but instead of an angry chastisement, he encourages them by painting a mental picture of how it will impact their future. For about a dozen years, the temple had lain half finished. God commissioned Zechariah to encourage its completion through the use of a metaphor. The rising of the temple pictured their lives. One day the Messiah would dwell in that temple and eventually lead them in. So both the temple and their lives must be given top priority. Vision here for Zechariah is a key throughout this whole book. He sees eight visions between chapters 1 and 6. But while he was a man of many visions, he kept to only one priority. All these visions call the people to repent and turn to God. Like any great leader, Zechariah knows he must cast a compelling vision for the people to act on. Purpose is yet another key word throughout Zechariah. The prophet feels the need to remind the people the higher purpose to which they have been called. Again, like all great leaders, he reminds them of the big picture. They aren't merely constructing a building, they're building a legacy. So please turn, if you would, to Jeremiah 12. We're going to read, go through chapter 12, verses 1 through 17. And Jeremiah, he was given an impossible task by God. He told him he was supposed to be the prophet to the Jews, to the Israelites. But then in the same breath, he told them that they weren't going to listen. They were going to be stubborn. They weren't going to listen many, many times, no matter what he brought, the word he brought to them, how he brought it to them. But Jeremiah 12 starts out with a complaint. He starts out, verse 1, righteous art thou, O Lord, then I plead with thee, yet let me talk with thee of thy judgments. Wherefore doth thus say the way of the wicked prosper? Wherefore are all they happy that deal very treacherously? Thou hast planted them, yea, they have taken root. they grow, yea, they bring forth fruit. Thou art near in their mouth, and yet far from their reins. Stop there for a minute and take a look at his complaint, what he was complaining about. He basically has the same complaint that you've heard many Christians down through the years. Why do the wicked prosper? Why does God prosper the wicked? Why do they get ahead? Why do they bear fruit? How do they bear fruit, even though their actions don't match their words? It's a lot of the big statement we used to have growing up, actions speak louder than words. Their actions weren't there. Their words were, they could say, they could talk with their mouths, but their actions weren't there. Pastor talked about it on Sunday, hypocrisy. And Jeremiah had justifiable complaint, but Jeremiah came dangerously close when he questioned God's justice. He said, you know, and speak about your justice. Before that, the complaint almost questioned his justice. When it comes down to God's methods, his justice, his way, his truth through the Word of God, human nature is we do complain a lot. I mean, on Monday morning when it comes out of 3:30 in the morning to go to work, I'm not a happy person sometimes, but we do complain. I mean, we're not supposed to, but we do. And Jeremiah's got a justifiable complaint because he said, like you say, he was asking why the wicked prosper, how they bear fruit and everything else. I can understand it's justifiably so, but moving on to the next, starting on verse 3, it says, but thou, O Lord, knowest me, thou hast seen me, and tried my heart toward thee. Pull them out like sheep for the slaughter, and prepare them for the day of slaughter. He was justified. He was getting angry to the point where he said, prepare them for the day of slaughter like sheep for slaughter. It just compounded, the anger compounded on top of the complaint that he had, and it just kept going to the point where he asked God. I mean, he's basically saying it's preparing them for the day of slaughter. How long shall the land mourn and the herbs of every field wither for the wickedness of them that dwelleth therein? The beasts are consumed, and the birds, because they said, he shall not see our last end. Now, the next, starting in verse 5, God answers Jeremiah's complaint, and it's sort of metaphorical, with a bit of metaphorical humor, I guess, but he goes on, verse 5, it says, if thou hast run with a footman, and they have wearied thee, and how canst thou contend with horses? I don't think he basically asked, well, if you can't keep up with men, how do you expect to keep up with a horse? I guess, but that, like I said, the metaphorical humor, it keeps going. And it uses as well in the next. And it says, if in the land of peace wherein thou trustest, they wearied thee, then how wilt thou do in the swelling of Jordan? In the land of peace, everything is easy. I mean, there's no hills to contend with. You don't have no hurdles, no obstacles to overcome. It's just steady going, flat land. But the swelling of a Jordan, the swelling of the Jordan, the swelling of a river, if anybody's tried to wade a river, especially at time of flood stage, I wouldn't do it. But I've fallen in enough times when we went fishing. But it's hard. I mean, with the Lyme disease and everything else, you stumble on even on flat land. But you can see the metaphorical humor. He keeps the seriousness of the message. His answer is still there. But he lightens the mood to change Jeremiah's perspective, maybe derail the train that he had started going when he was talking about the sheep, sending the sheep as to slaughter. But keeping on with verse 6, it said, for even thy brethren and the house of the Father, even they have dealt treacherously with ye. Yea, they have called a multitude after thee. Believe them not, though they speak fair words unto thee. I have forsaken mine house. I have left mine heritage. I have given the dearly beloved of my soul into the hand of her enemies. Mine heritage is unto me as a lion is in the forest. It crieth out against me. Therefore have I hated it. Mine heritage is unto me as a speckled bird, and the birds round about against her. Come ye, assemble all the beasts of the field, come to devour. I believe he's talking as as far as the Israelites go, he, like I said, they've walked away from him time and time again, even before now, and they will proceed to many times after this. As you can see, all the way up to through Zechariah, once we get there. But he hands them over to their enemies. I mean, he's giving them over to their enemies to break them. See, the whole issue with the problem with cultures like this are every great culture tends to fall apart from the inside out. It's like a cancer. It starts on the inside. It's not because of wars with outside, with foreign nations, countries, or anything else. It tends to start just like Sodom and Gomorrah did, any other country, great country, Egypt, Rome, Greece, Troy. They allowed other gods and goddesses, other mythology in through the doors. They let Satan have a foothold. And the cancer from the inside out started to eat away at their culture, at their civilizations, through their economy. And they've always fallen apart. And usually, right before the complete collapse of a system, a civilization would happen, that's when he would hand them over to their enemies, whether it be Babylon, Egypt, whoever it may have been at the time. But they were already in the state of deterioration at the time. But let's move on, if we would. Verse 10, many pastors have destroyed my vineyard. They have trodden my portion under their foot. They have made my pleasant portion a desolate wilderness. They have made it desolate, and being desolate, it mourneth unto me the whole land it made desolate, because no man layeth it to heart. He's simply talking about the shepherds, the pastors, the men of the cloth, clergymen, down through the years, time. They've led people, some of them, unless they're speaking the truth, God's word, out of God's word, from God's word, they're leading people astray. The short and the long, that's the facts about it. If they're not preaching the word of God, the truth of the word of God, they're leading many, many people astray. And it's, you can see it popping up all over the place if you keep up with anything with news or social media. You can see different religions, different sects, different cults. I mean, down through the years, down through the ages, even now, they're still popping up. People are slowly, well, not slowly, but it's more of a downhill spiral right now. It seems like chaos is having, it seems like Satan's having a holiday. He's just roaming, just running around, having a good time out there because of everything that's going on, whether it be through the ministers of whatever religions they have that they're leading people astray through. I mean, look at September 11th. I mean, the churches were full after September 11th. Didn't even take 2-3 months after September 11th happened. I mean, they were empty. I mean, you couldn't fill the pews no matter what. They were flooded after September 11th, after it happened. But you can see the decline through the civilization, the interior, just like I said, is a cancer that eats away from the inside out. And just to say, just as like you could, the same as you could through the Israelites or the Jews here, down through the pages of history as well. But let's move on, if you would. They have sown wheat, but shall reap thorns. They have put themselves to pain, but shall not profit, and they shall be ashamed of your revenues because of the fierce anger of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord against all mine evil neighbors that touch the inheritance which I have caused my people in Israel to inherit. Behold, I will pluck them out of the land and pluck them out of the house of Judah from among them. And it shall come to pass after that I have plucked them out, I will return and have compassion on them and will bring them again, every man to his heritage and every man to his land. And it shall come to pass, if they with diligently learn the ways of my people to swear by my name, the Lord liveth, as they taught my people to swear by Baal, then shall they be built in the midst of my people. But if they will not obey, I will utterly pluck them up and destroy the nation, that nation, saith the Lord. It's pretty much a close and cut book here. I mean, it explains exactly what he will do if they didn't obey. I mean, the pastor is preaching on it as well. Now, obedience. It takes obedience to follow in the ways of Christ, even through the valleys that we may all share. Each one of us, like I said, each one's like a fingerprint. We're all different. We all deal with our own trials, our own struggles. It may be from one thing, from cancer to the virus to whatever. I mean, down through the day after day that we have to deal with. And but like you said, the promises that God gave us, He will never leave us nor forsake us, and He won't give us more than we can bear, no matter what. These are promises we can count on, no matter what. He won't. He's not going to turn away. He's not going to deny those promises to us throughout the problem. But I want to skip ahead to Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6, if I may. I'd like to see the parallel between what we just read, and possibly if you can see the parallels between what we're going to read now in Zechariah chapter 1, verses 1 through 6. In the eighth month, in the second year of Darius, came the word of the Lord unto Zechariah, the son of Bechariah, the son of Iddo, the prophet, saying, The Lord hath been sore displeased with your fathers. Therefore say thou unto them, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye unto me, saith the Lord of hosts, and I will turn unto you, saith the Lord of hosts. Be ye not as your fathers, unto whom the former prophets have cried, saying, Thus saith the Lord of hosts, Turn ye now from your evil ways and from your evil doings. But they did not hear, nor hearken unto me, saith the Lord. Your fathers, where are they? And the prophets, do they live forever? But my words and my statutes which I command my servants, the prophets, did they not take hold of your fathers? And they return and saith, like as the Lord of hosts thought to do unto us, according to our ways and according to our doings, so hath he dealt with us. Zechariah was talking about, I mean, obviously you can see the parallel between, he's talking about the prophets of old. Jeremiah came before. The prophetic statements that he came through, the Israelites, they kept turning away from God and his favor. He kept turning them over to their enemies. I mean, there's one way. But if you look at the culture itself, the civilization, they were already falling apart before he actually made the decision to turn them over to their enemies. But the parallel, you can see what's going on in America today. I mean, we're not talking just Christians. I mean, Jews, the Israelites, the Christians worldwide, and each nation, especially, I mean, we deal with our nation here. Christian brothers and sisters, I mean, they're letting Satan have a field day, as it may be. Because he's running rampant out there. You can see through the decisions that our leaders are making, the kids are putting up with, what they're going through, the school, all the schools, what they're being taught. Socialism is running rampant. There's a famous dictator that wrote a book years and years ago. It came up. One statement in that book, true. He said, give me your children and I could really, let me educate your children. Basically, educating your children and I can rule the world. He didn't understand, I don't think he understood the scope of that statement at the time, but every dictator, every monarch or whatever, they've realized down through the ages, the children are a clean slate. They're like a computer, if you will. It's a motherboard. It's a clean motherboard before the programs are all installed, before all the apps are installed. They're a clean slate. But they take in everything that they're being told, they're being taught in schools and through the social media. Myself, I'm not in the social media game or anything else. I stay away from that whole issue because there's too much drama and too many things going on out there. But it's crazy the way the people are allowing themselves to believe, just like the pastor said. I mean, if someone says it's right, it's right. I mean, whatever you say, your opinions are right. I mean, that's what the world is telling you today. Whatever you say is right. Whatever you say is wrong. People aren't stopping to measure it up with the actual truth, the Word of God itself, where the facts come from. He gave us the solution here throughout the Bible, throughout the pages of history, and which leads me to the final verse in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that I was talking about before, where the Lord appeared to Solomon right after he had just finished building the temple. 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. He gave us a savior. He gave the Jews a simple solution at the time. He gives everyone a simple solution and just in one verse. Michael Card, I love the song Heal Our Land. It's based on that verse itself. It's for the National Day. He came out with it for the National Day of Prayer. And it's a simple, very easy solution. All we have to do is pray as a Christian, brothers and sisters, as a family. Repent of the sins. He'll listen here from heaven and heal our lands. I can't see how it can get any simpler, more easy, more than that of a solution for our culture the way it is now. The Jews had the same situation. And Egypt, Rome, like I said, Troy, you look down through the greatest civilization throughout time, they've fallen apart from the inside out. Why? But like I said, Jeremiah had a valid complaint. It's on the mad lips of every Christian down through the ages. Why did the evil prosper? Why did the wicked get ahead? I mean, it was a valid complaint. Everybody says the same thing. I've heard many people say it. I've said it myself down through the years. But like I said, that he gave us a simple solution in that verse alone when he said that he will hear from heaven, forgive their sin, and heal their land. It can't get any easier than that. He's not asking you to put on a uniform, hit the front lines, or anything else. He's just asking us to get on our knees and pray, simply pray. That's all he asks. And then repent of the sins, heal our land. But that's what I have. If you'd join me in prayer, I'd appreciate it. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this evening, thank you for this evening. I thank you for each and every family member you brought. I thank you for the safety that you brought them here with, the mercy, traveling mercies. I pray that we understand these parallels from prophet to prophet, from nation to culture, from years and years, centuries ago to today's day and age. There are so many parallels here that we can see running side by side with Israel through these times of stubbornness. I pray that as far as the revival goes, our leaders that we have, I pray for our leaders, I pray for the teachers of the country, people that make the decisions. You'd guide and direct their lives and guide and direct their decisions, give wisdom and direction to each and every one that are making these decisions. And we pray for a revival in this land, if we could, if we turn it around, bring it back to its knees through prayer and heal our land. Thank you again for each and every member of the family that brought out this evening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.